high atop the internet in the palatial Pride 48 studios overlooking the universe. It's time once again for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it may be when you are listening, we are glad you have joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by some company that doesn't really give us anything, and I just like to throw this in because, you know, it just sounds like something really cool and whatnot. So, welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from Arkansas, the state of many facets. It is the man, I can't say that, can I? No, it's Adam Burns. That's what I wanted to say.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, Adam?
I don't know.
I'm a bit discombobulated here this evening.
Well, I can't decide how I am because I'm having equipment issues,
yeah.
And I don't know. I feel really busy because my grandparents are in town, and I've had to do all that kind of stuff, and I was working on the video studio today, and I realized I'm broke.
You're just now realizing this.
Well, no, I've known that I was broke for quite some time. I just thought getting a job that paid more and getting rid of a boyfriend would, relieve some of my funds. But
right.
No,
well, as
I'm
you
still
can,
broke.
As you might be able to tell, dear listener, I am at least limping along on part of a mixer here. After listening to the listening to the previous shows and hearing the abysmal sound quality of my recording, the first thing I did when I got back from Connecticut was to retrieve a hammer from the garage and just whacked the shit out of this mixer until it stopped buzzing. So that's how I fixed it. And God knows if it's
did
going to last.
Did you really whack it?
Yes. I tapped, here's my suspicion. My suspicion is it has one of those FX chips on it, you know, where you can do the echo and the chipmunk voice and the voice of God kind of thing. And I never,
right.
ever use it. I never use it. But it is what was causing the buzz, is that because I had this problem with the mixer about a year ago, and in order to overcome it, I had to like turn down all of the FX volumes anywhere on the mixer, and then that got rid of the buzz. So I kind of suspected that was what the persistent buzz was, is that FX thing had just jumped the shark. So anyway, that's where I banged it, was I hit that section where the FX stuff is. Until it stopped buzzing.
All of these people turn to you and I for audio,
right.
You know,
right.
Wisdom.
Technical,
technical
support.
And
yes.
So now what you're telling them is if you are having problems with your mixer, go get your handy dandy hammer
and
start whacking the shit out of it.
Yes, that's correct.
That's what you're telling them.
Mm-hmm. This also works really good on hard drives. So if you have a hard drive problem, yeah, just go ahead and write that down. Technical advice number 62, just whack it with a hammer.
Well, with hard drives, don't you have to put them in the freezer first and then whack them with a hammer?
No, you should know. Actually, honestly, the real technical advice for hard drives is get spin right, damn it. Unless you're running an SSD.
I have spin right.
Anyway.
So I wanted to say, I'm interrupting you.
Yeah, you are.
I wanted to say, at the beginning of the show, we just wanted to make a quick congratulations for...
Jesus.
Ramble Redhead.
Now you can't talk anymore. Let me take care of this. No, there are three podcasters that were at Pride 48 this year who have been nominated for podcast awards, and we would like to congratulate all three of them. That would be Cocktails and Cream Puffs, The Rambling Redhead, and Greetings from Nowhere. And here's the great part about this is, you know, at first it seems like, now I'm going to have to decide which one of those to vote for if I decide to vote. No, you don't. You see, because Cocktails and Cream Puffs was not only nominated in the GLBT category, but they were also nominated in the People's Choice Awards. So here's what you do, Pride 48 fans. Vote for Greetings from Nowhere in the general category, and then vote for Ramble Redhead in the GLBT category, and then vote for Cocktails and Cream Puffs in the People's Choice Awards, or the People's Choice category. And there you go. Then you get to vote for all three of them.
Yeah, well, and I'm just happy that three of our Pride 48 shows were nominated.
Well, they're not our shows,
so,
but yes, three fine
ours,
podcasters that participated in
our,
Pride 48. Yes.
Our family, their family,
that's right,
their Pride
48
family. I don't mean they're ours, like literally, but anyway, so I just wanted
it's
to
the Ramble Redhead show,
and,
produced by Adam Burns.
Right. We don't produce them, you know, or anything. But
maybe we could do that though. Maybe we could ask them if we could just be listed as executive producer. You know, because executive producers don't do anything.
For Cocktails and Cream Puffs, if they win, I want to be listed somewhere as original, like
fanboy.
No, I taught them how to podcast, damn it. So I just want to be listed.
You taught them how to
podcast.
You taught them how to form words and to underforce the words in the microphone.
No, just the technical part of it. But when they go to LA, where these awards are going to be hosted this year, and Joey gets up to give his speech, as I know he will, I just want him to say, and I just want to give a special
shout out. I'd like to thank Adam Burns for my fabulous award.
Right. When he's thanking God, he can include me. You know, God and Adam. That's all I got to say. But I have a little bone to pick with them, though, because I went to a lot of trouble about a week ago taking photos of myself in a Cocktails and Cream Puff shirt.
Yes.
Sent to all three of them.
Yes.
And I considered that to be contact for the show. Not only were they photos of me in the shirt, but they were half naked photos of me in the shirt.
Yes.
And I didn't get one mention in the contact section of their show this week. Now, I would think a gay podcast, nude photos, would, you know, constitute at least a, hey, Adam sent us an email. My whole ploy for attention didn't even work.
Well, that's because it's visual and you're in the medium of audio.
If you are a podcaster out there and you like naked pictures and you will mention me on your show, I will take personal photos for you. That's all I've got to say.
So you'll print out their logo. And you'll hold it up while posing naked.
That's right. If that's what they want, and they can use it on their website.
And all they have to do is just mention you.
That's correct.
Okay, good.
So last weekend, I only cook every now and again, and I know I'm just moving right along here.
Yeah, stop.
Why?
Well, because A, nobody cares about your cooking, but B, because I got like halfway through that Live It Up show before I remembered to mention this, and I was going to mention this up front, but then you sidetracked me with the podcasting awards or whatever. I met two podcast listeners when I was in Connecticut, and I just wanted to say, I met Kevin, drum major Kevin, and Brian and Danbury, a lovely gay couple that live in Connecticut that drove all the way up to Hartford just to have a burger and beer with me. So there.
Do they listen to our show?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I've never met them, but I'm sure they're very nice people.
So if they didn't listen to our show, then you wouldn't care.
No, I would care anyway, but I listened to Live It Up, so I heard you say this already.
Yes.
So this is like a repeat. It's like watching a, you know, for people who like you a whole lot and listen to all your shows, I bet they like hear the same story like five times.
You know what? I try not to repeat shows on there. And you know what, Adam? There's a very simple solution for that.
Don't listen to your shows.
No, I just I'll be happy to drop one of them. Do you want me to drop? I'll drop DI Plus. Do you want me to drop DI Plus?
Well, who would I make fun of and give a hard time?
You can still make fun of me, but I hear Alden is probably looking for work. You could you and Alden.
Oh, yeah, he is looking for work. Oh well, he might have a job by now. You never know. I mean, he could have a job riding a bicycle, teaching bicycle lessons.
Yes.
Teaching parenting classes.
He could indeed.
He could be a subboy for some daddy.
There you go. Well, you know, Kathy Bacon has been chomping at the bits for you to teach some kind of aerobics class before Pride 48 next year. Maybe you and Alden, a certified personal trainer, I might add, could, you know, do a little video workout podcast.
Well, I don't have any time for that, but Alden could certainly do that. I'm sure he'd be much more qualified. So all I was going to say is, are you done?
I'm done. Please go ahead, Boris, with your dinner.
Well, no. So I don't even know what I was going to say. So all I was going to, why do you have to do that? Before I tell a story, you just go off and say it's going to be a horrible, boring story.
Because I'm an asshole. We've already established
I'm going to have a complex. Well, so all I was going to say is I decided I was going to cook this dinner for my parents and my grandma. And I don't cook very often because I don't like to cook for just one person, because when I cook, it's always elaborate and whatever. So I went and got all these ingredients and spent like $120 on all this food. And I was cooking Mexican, but I was cooking beef tacos with like the kind where I don't know the traditional like Mexican word for it or whatever, but it's just beef and like onions and tomatoes and stuff like that.
I believe the official Mexican word for that is food.
You squeeze lime on it and you put cilantro on it. There's no like salsa on there or cheese really generally. It's just meat,
it's just
onions,
food.
Cilantro, lime. It's very good. It's my favorite
That's
kind
all
is
they
what
eat
I ate
in
like
Mexico, by the way.
Five times at that restaurant in Vegas. But I cook the beef. I take a big chuck roast and I cook it for like 10 hours at least, either in a crock pot or in the oven. Either way, it doesn't matter. Just on a low temperature for like 10
Excellent.
Hours to make it tender. So I bought all this stuff. I bought the roast, a perfect looking roast, had enough fat in it to make it taste good and all that. And I get home and I wanted to practice this dessert that I, this new dessert, because I made caramelized baby bananas with homemade profiteroles, which are cream puffs. So I made the pastry myself.
Cocktails and profiteroles?
Right. In England, they call them profiteroles. I think
that, but I'm just saying that puffs, would be a better basically. Name. That would be a better name for a podcast. Cocktails and profiteroles.
Cocktails and profiteroles. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I say, you know what? We don't do the rules on this show, and we don't do the rules on the other show anymore either. But maybe from now on, we should just refer to them as cocktails and profiteroles.
Hey, if that's what you want to do. But I wanted to practice that because I had never made the pastry for that before. So I practiced it, and I wanted to put the roast in about 1 a.m. so it could cook all night. So I practiced the dessert. I get it going. It's going pretty good and everything, and I'm just about done with that. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to stick the roast in. I'm going to sear it off, and I'm going to season it and put it in the crock pot. Look in the refrigerator, no roast. Look in my car, no roast. Look all over the place. Look in the trash, no roast. I had no roast.
You had no roast.
No roast, but I had bought a roast. So what had happened, I don't know if this has ever happened to you at Walmart, but they use those little triangular things where they put it in a bag and then they spin it around and you're supposed to grab the bag as they...
It is a lazy Susan.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that's what it is. So it's a carousel of groceries, if you will.
A carousel of groceries at the fine Walmart.
Apparently what I had done is I did not see the boof. And I didn't, because the nice gentleman at the cash register had been loading my stuff into my cart for me for some reason.
Oh my God. Did it take him this long to load the stuff into the cart?
He made eye contact.
Get
and
to
said
the
goodbye
point. You left the store without your roast. You left the store sans meat.
Well, not only did I not have my meat, but Neighborhood Market closes at midnight, and this was 1 a.m. So I had to go to another Walmart that's open 24 hours, get another roast.
Yes.
And then I had to go back the next day. But I did learn something. They actually keep a list of all food items that are left in the store, and then when you go back, they'll actually either give you that food item or they'll return your money.
So you could kind of like play like Russian roulette, similar to that, like with Walmart. So if you were really hungry, you could just go to a Walmart and pick some common item and hope that it's on a list somewhere. You know what? Yesterday, I bought a Snickers bar, but I walked away without it. Is that on the list?
Maybe, but I think they require a receipt. I mean, I'm not sure about that, but I did bring in a receipt. So
yesterday,
you have to...
I bought a new computer and I left it here. Is that on the list? All right, I'll come back tomorrow.
I think they'd catch on rather quickly, although we do have a lot of Walmarts around here.
Right,
so
I couldn't remember which Walmart. Let me go check out the one down the street.
I could go a good month without hitting the same Walmart. I mean, you can't go a block without a Walmart around here. So that was my meat story.
Oh,
that was it.
God.
It was a lot more dramatic when last week when we were supposed to record.
Right. You know what? I had
you
a beautiful
didn't put anything in the document.
Well, no, I didn't, because I just got home last night. I've been away from home for 13 days. Do you have any idea what that's like?
Well, yeah, but go on.
I mean, do you have any idea what, then you get back. I didn't, because of flight delays and they had to reroute me through some other city. I didn't get home until like 12:30 in the morning. And then I have an entire suitcase filled with dirty clothes and nothing to wear because I had packed basically, you know, all of my clothes for 2 weeks. So then I had to do laundry and then I was really tired and I had to go to bed. And then today I had to go get the hammer and beat the shit out of the mixer and I had to go run errands. So I am so sorry, Adam, that I didn't have enough time to go into your little document
now,
and add
I want
things
my
into
little
there.
This is our show.
Whatever. No,
it
you know what? I had a beautiful story about the moon and clouds that I was going to tell. And now it's completely ruined. Completely ruined.
I want to say one thing, though. You say that you had no clothes to wear because you had to do laundry.
Yes.
From what I saw on Google+, you packed every article of dress clothing that you own because you actually had to go into work for this yes. 2 weeks or whatever. Yes. And I know for a fact that when you were at home, I have never once seen you wear an article of dress clothing. So if you packed all this dress clothing and that's what you were wearing for the past 2 weeks, you should have had all your t-shirts and flip-flops still intact in your drawer at home.
But I didn't because I detest wearing the dress clothing. So as soon as I would get home, I mean, back to the hotel at night, I would take off the dress clothing and put on jeans and a t-shirt.
Oh, okay. Anyway, what about the moon and the clouds?
No, no, how it's completely they? Ruined.
No,
it's
it is your turn. You have to tell a story now. No, completely we ruined. Can't go on.
It was a beautiful.
A
it was a
you.
Beautiful story about my flight home last evening from Connecticut because it was late at night and it was a crystal clear night and the moon was out and shining really brightly. I actually flew over New York City, which is like my first time ever really seeing New York City, but I like flew right over it and I could make out like where Central Park was and where the big buildings were and all that stuff. But the moon and the clouds did this really, really cool thing. And it's really hard to describe, but at first I thought that there was like an errant spotlight on the plane that was like shining down because there would be like these bright flashes of light that would kind of trail underneath us. Cause I always sit at the window seat. I was staring out. And then I realized after a while that no, what that is it's the moon reflecting off of water. So as we pass over any body of water, I get the reflection of the moon. But then we started getting these really cool reflections from these clouds because clouds are basically water vapor. So it was like this really cool little like reflective thing that would happen on the clouds and it would just kind of like spread out to the very end tentacles of the clouds and then fade away really quickly. And then I was mesmerized by this, just flying.
Isn't that what happens when it's lightning?
No.
As well?
No.
Like
this,
if it's lightning
this,
and there are clouds as well?
Possibly. But this was very, you know, this just was a reflection of, there were just some really small wispy clouds in some places that we'd fly over. And the way that the moonlight reflected both underneath them and on top of them, because it would hit the water underneath and then reflect up underneath the clouds. So at certain points, the clouds looked like they were lit from underneath. And then other times the clouds would be lit from on top. And it was really pretty. It was very pretty.
So where did you get the pot that you smoked before your flight?
I don't smoke pot.
And did you need a bag of Funyuns afterwards?
I did not.
Or do you need to make recordings about double rainbows at
this point? You know
what? You know
what? You know what? This is why I don't say things like this on this show. Because you, sir, are an ass.
I am not. You are an ass.
Bazinga.
All right.
It's already been proven or stated by other people.
All right. Well, you know what? On our last show where we had the lovely Nessa on as a guest, and by the way, thank you, Nessa, for joining us for
yes,
that.
Yes, thank you, Nessa.
That was very fun. Even though I kept talking over the top of you because we couldn't really hear each other very well. So I apologize for that. But what I want to say is
that I was going to say there was something you were about to say.
I was burping and I muted myself to do so. Hopefully you'll cut that out when you do the silence truncate thing. But now that you've talked about it, now everyone knows that this was the spot where there was an awkward pause as I burped. Thank you, Adam. Thank you so much.
Now I have a horrible decision to make about whether I cut the entire section out
now?
Or leave it
Are
in
you
for
happy
comedic
now?
Effect. I'm really happy.
Bite my shiny metal ass.
Right. I have weird buzzing going on in my ears, and it's really making me, it's annoying me. But okay. Go on. You were about to say something.
I was going
to
say, because
critical.
We had Nessa on, we pushed off talking about the technology stuff. And so now, you know, it's just you and I. So let's talk about the technology stuff.
All right. Well, I was gonna come up with a nice theme for this section, and I just haven't had time.
Oh, I've got one here.
Oh.
The Bee Gees. Come on. Yeah? No. All right. Never mind. Go ahead.
Actually, that is a very insensitive choice of
why?
Because,
wait, why is that insensitive?
Well, because
yes?
The first article of you know, the first thing I have to talk about on the nice little list, I want to play something before we do this. So I'm just going to start this and then we will talk about it.
Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them, about the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
What the fuck are we listening to?
Okay, so that was a tribute that someone put on a YouTube video for Steve Jobs.
Oh my God.
So Steve Jobs passed away this past week, and I have to say, I mean, I am not, and people who know me know that I am not an Apple fanboy. I do not own a Mac computer. I have never owned a Mac computer. But I do think that he is one of those people who was a genius in his own right. And I think that, you know, it was worth bringing up, you know, that he was a very important person and we're all sad that he died. And I think that he did a lot for computing and for, I mean, we may not even be podcasting, perhaps, had he not, you know, had they not brought out
that
the
is,
iPod.
No, that's so not true. Podcasting was developed in the basement by a gentleman in Virginia who went by the name of Archer.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He invented podcasting.
Yeah. Archer invented podcasting.
Well, and I know, and I knew you were going to disagree with me, and
I'm not disagreeing with you, and that's all well and good. What I am just tired of are the people reacting as though they were his best friend, although as though it was a personal friend of theirs that they lost. Yes, it is a very sad thing that he died, and he deserves, you know, kudos and respects and whatnot, but, you know, it's gotten a bit crazy now.
Well, if Bill Gates had died, I would have brought it up as well. There, okay.
Well, it's not that it's not worthy of bringing up. It's just the tearful or that big emotional, like, little video piece. That all too often, those big emotional video pieces have more to do with people trying to get their own pats on the back than it does to any kind of tribute. But that guy didn't know Steve Jobs. That guy had never met Steve Jobs. I guarantee you.
Well, way to rain on everybody's parade on their funeral. I don't know what that was.
That was a button on my sound thing that says sensor beep, and I didn't know it was going to be that loud.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay. So I do want to play one other thing related to Steve Jobs. So I just wanted to mention that he died, and that's about it. But I heard, actually, this other clip of him giving a speech about death. And the reason I want to play this is because when I heard it, it actually made me emotional, not at all about him specifically, but about our lives as gay people and people who struggle with, you know, whether they should come out and things of that nature. Anyway, and I know he wasn't relating it to gayness at all, but I'm going to play this. So if I can find it, because I apparently didn't set up my soundboard correctly before. And I still think that is incredibly insensitive, and we're going to get one-star reviews from people who love Steve Jobs. So here we go. This is Steve Jobs talking about death.
Death is very likely the single best invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. Right now, the new is you. But someday, not too long from now, you will gradually become the old and be cleared away. Sorry to be so dramatic, but it's quite true. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary.
So for some reason, when I heard that, I almost teared up because I thought, you know, all those people out there, and I guess it spoke to me really because I don't want to get too serious on this show, but I spend a lot of my time trying to live the way I think that other people, or at least in public, trying to live the way I think that other people would want me to live. And just to hear somebody say, hey, you don't have a long time. You don't know how long you've got, and you really need to live for yourself. It spoke to me for some reason, so I just...
As well it should have.
But that was all. I mean, it just, for some reason, that got to me. But So the other technology stuff.
Wait, no. That wasn't what? Technology stuff. So don't say the other. You know what we used to have? Did you ever watch Spike TV?
Yes. All
right.
Only for Star Trek. But
see,
yes,
and that
I
was
did.
What I was going to say was Spike TV. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Spike TV used to not only play Star Trek. Please stand by for one moment. All right. So I just burped. So cut that out. That was horrible. All right, so they not only used to play Star Trek The Next Generation, but correct me if I'm wrong, did they not play Mama's Family also like every day? It would be like repeating.
I think they did. I love that
and
show.
And so this is yes. What used to always drive me nuts about that, because right after coming out of Mama's Family, going to Star Trek, they would go like, and now more science fiction with Star Trek The Next Generation. I'm like, wait, since when does Mama's Family a science fiction show?
I don't remember. You must pay much closer
attention
to things.
I'm just saying, you can't say that what we just talked about was technology talk, because that wasn't. That was dead people talk. That was
a famous person
passed away.
I could have put it in the news section, but I thought he was related to technology.
Although he might have been related to technology, we didn't talk about any technology. We talked about him dying and people's reaction to that. So don't say more in technology. Just say, all right, do we have a theme song for our tech segment that we're going to do?
I told you that we don't have a theme song for our tech segment that we're going to do.
And now DI Plus proudly presents Tech Talk with the lovely and talented Adam Burns and the highly intelligent and always correct Daniel Brewer.
And so I don't even know if you're interested in these two topics, because I just earlier mentioned that there was one that you were supposedly going to play with, and you said, yeah, I'm probably not ever going to play with this.
Yeah, I didn't play.
But I've been playing with Windows 8, and I really like it. And I know, and it's kind of the fag in me, I'll have to say, because I think it's a lot prettier. And I like the Metro interface, and I like the fact that you can flip between screens by clicking on the edge. And I'm sure if I had a touch screen, it would, you know, because you can like do the little swipey thingy and all that. But I mean,
that's a very technical term, by the way, the little swipey thingy.
Well, the little swipey thingy, and with the mouse, it's different. But I like full screen apps. I have really decided that I like the whole full screen app thing. And maybe it's because I use an iPad a lot, but I like the full screen apps that are on there. And that worked really nicely. There's a lot of pretty candy sort of stuff, which I like because I just like pretty things. That's just the way I am. But in the back end, it's basically Windows 7.
Yeah.
So you can get to control panel. You can get to all the settings. If you open an application that's not a Metro application, it opens up on a regular desktop. Now, there is no start menu, at least without a hack. Out of the box, it does not have a start menu. If you click on the little start menu thing, it takes you to that Metro interface.
Well, there's no start menu now, but I guarantee you there will be a start menu when it launches.
Maybe, or maybe they'll do something for Enterprise. I've heard a lot of different speculation about...
I guarantee you, because Microsoft has never in their entire history been a company that takes risks. And just the way people are screaming about the fact that there's no start menu, I guarantee you they will put it back.
I don't mind it. I mean, I kind of like the progression.
Well, but you go read any forum out there and you will hear people screaming, I'm not going to go to that. I don't want a damn like Metro interface. Give me Windows, damn it. I want my command line.
But I don't know. I never use the start menu as it is, almost. I mean, I pin my the applications that I use to the little thingy at the bottom, whatever that's called, and the little tray thing
right.
at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I pin my
technical.
Applications there, and I open the applications from there. The only time that I use the start menu is like, I guess if I need to find something that I don't have pinned there, I'll use the run box that you have to go to, you know. From the start menu. But other than that, I don't use it very often. And all of that stuff can go in that Metro interface. It doesn't have to be in a start menu. So it's just a different UI. It's not like, and they didn't remove the command line. You can still get to that as well.
Well, excellent. I haven't played with it. And the main reason I haven't played with it is because I don't have a machine that I could play with it on. Because I am a paid developer, and so therefore I have to kind of keep my machine on software that the clients are using So I can't really install alpha and beta stuff and just freely play with it. The other reason is I run dual monitors, and most of the time these things are not designed for dual monitors. They're just not.
Well, I haven't tried it with dual monitors yet, so I can't really speak to that. But I can say that, like I said, from what I can tell, the guts are Windows 7. Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming that you'd be able to do. Now, I don't know if the Metro interface would work on a dual monitor or not, but anything, any application, most of the applications that I currently use on Windows 7 or Vista, I have already installed on Windows 8. But what I did is I created a second partition on my hard drive and I installed it on that. Yes. So I just created a dual boot machine. So I'm not, like, for recording this, I'm still using Windows 7 and stuff. But anyway, I like it. I like it.
Excellent.
And I hope.
I'm glad you like it.
And it just looks different. I mean, Windows has been looking the same for so long. I mean, they needed a little facelift, I think.
Well, they need to do something just to try to keep people interested, because quite honestly, the way things are moving now, everybody's moving to the cloud. And it's like we're doing stuff in browsers that we really don't care what operating system we're running. But that's neither here nor there. When is Windows 8 slated to come out?
They haven't set a specific date, but Paul Thurrott, I speculated that it would be before Christmas next year, probably end of summer. So there'd be like a beta at some point, January, February, and then, you know, summerish possibly.
I don't know. I mean, well, Windows 7 was in beta for what, 9 months? So.
Yeah, it was quite a while. I didn't install Windows 7. In fact, I just installed Windows 7 on my laptop like 3 weeks ago.
Well, there you go.
I have it on my desktop, but I just never bothered because I didn't have a problem with Vista. I mean, to me, it was fine. But
all right. So the other thing you wanted to talk about was the Amazon Kindle Fire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was more relevant when I wanted to talk about this stuff.
It hasn't been released. It's still a pre-release announcement. You can pre-order it. So, it has not been shipped yet.
I just wanted to know your opinions on that. Have you seen the specs and the announcement?
Yes.
And what your opinion? Because I know you were looking at tablets.
Yes, I was.
And I know you're wanting an Android tablet. But yes. I will tell you that my main problem with the Kindle Fire is there's no 3G.
Correct, which I don't want.
And I think you don't want 3G?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I have an Android phone. My phone is a wireless hotspot. I don't need a separate 3G contract for my tablet.
Oh, that's right. I forget. I still use a tin cannon string for my phone. So I need something with 3G built in. But the other thing is there's some speculation about how locked down it's actually going to be because of the fact that it's – and, you know – and the iPad has a similar issue because it's locked down basically to iTunes. So anyway, I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on it.
My thoughts are this. I'm waiting before I decide. So I'm waiting to see because I want to hear exactly how locked down it is. They're doing their own custom build of Android, and a lot of the pundits, which by the way, I'm so fucking sick of the pundits. It's like, how many of those pundits actually came back and said, oh yeah, well, I guess we were all wrong about it being the iPhone 5. It's like these pundits just make shit up all the time and it annoys the fuck out of me. But basically a lot of the pundits have been saying, well, you know, it's Amazon's own version of Android. So that's, you know, going to present its own challenges because, you know, who knows what it's going to like. But at the same time, it runs Android apps. So at some level, it has to keep current with what the official version of Android is. Otherwise, those apps won't run. So, you know, Amazon has its own app store that you can submit to as a developer, but it's not like they have a different spec of Android to develop for that store. So when I wrote my Android app, I didn't have to recompile it with, you know, specific Amazon APIs or something. I just submitted the exact same compiled program to them for submission in their store. So at some level, it is stock Android because it has to be in order to run the apps, unless they're going to release a completely new API and they don't have enough developers on board to do that. But I am curious as to how locked down it is, because that's a big thing as to whether or not I would be able to root it and get rid of some of their stuff or whatnot.
Right. I mean, I guess how does that look compared to the other Android tablets that you've looked at? I mean, does it?
Oh, it's way too basic.
But as far as
it's way too basic.
So what it looks a lot more basic than the other ones.
What I really want is a Nexus tablet. And that's kind of what I'm waiting for, is I'm waiting for an official Google reference tablet. Because what happens a lot with Android is that the manufacturers will put their own software on top of the actual official version of Android, which...
Like HTC does.
Right, which HTC does, Motorola was doing, Samsung does it with their whatever they call it. But the problem with that is A, it's unnecessary. B, it just delays any kind of future update, because in order for them to update to a new version of Android, they have to write, you know, they have to recompile their little overlays to work with the new version and then push all that out. So then there's more months of testing and whatnot, and it just delays getting the latest software. So the Nexus branded phone, so any phone that is a Nexus phone is a phone that has no overlay on it. It is the official stock Android experience, and they are always the first phones to get the new software because nothing else has to be done. So I was really kind of hoping and waiting for a Google Nexus tablet. So like, this is our official tablet. There will be no additional crap on top of. Now, the Motorola Zoom comes really close because the Motorola Zoom does not have any kind of overlay on it. It is just stock Android. And a lot of pundits keep wanting to call that a reference tablet, but Google has never officially said that this tablet will never have anything on it, nor will Motorola. I mean, granted, Google is buying Motorola Mobility, but right. I'm just kind of waiting to see how that shakes out. I saw a Motorola Zoom, a refurbed one, on sale for $399, and I was very tempted to get it. But
How are they doing? Because I heard that it wasn't doing very well at all.
But who did you hear that from? So,
oh, just the pundits, I suppose. Right.
That's the whole thing. You can't compare
stuff
this
that you listen to.
Right. And it's because everyone wants to compare it with the iPad, which the iPad's been out a year and a half longer than any Android tablet, and it's had a lot longer time to be adopted and to be used. And the truth of the matter is, you know, it's just one of those things. It's a tablet. It's a $500 investment. It's not something that, you know, that I just happen to have laying around. So I'm kind of waiting to see.
Right. Well, I do have an iPad, and I love my iPad. Like I said, I'm not a Mac person, and I've never owned a Mac computer. But the iPad does everything that I need it to do. But I don't think that I would ever write apps for iPad or iPhone. So probably at some point when there's an Android tablet out that I feel is sufficient, I may switch, because I would rather write something for Android than, you know, because I just, maybe it's just a matter of principle. I don't know. I mean, I just feel like Apple is so locked down and you have to write it just, anyway, yeah, to have a Mac to write something for Apple.
The reason I don't want to go, I definitely know I don't want an iPad because it will not do what I want it to do. So you know, I can't put music on it without going through iTunes. I can't put movies on it without going through iTunes. And I just don't want that. For instance, the Motorola Zoom, excuse me, not only has the ability, you know, to just plug it into your computer and it's a hard drive and you can copy whatever file you want onto it, but it also has HDMI out. So if you wanted to hook it to a television and play your movie on your television from your tablet, you could do that if you wanted to. And it also has an SD card slot. So if you wanted to, you know, copy something off to an SD card or to actually just double the memory in it, you could do that without going through it. So I just like the flexibility of the Android stuff a lot more than I do the iPad stuff, but that's neither here nor there. We've now officially bored every single person in the audience.
I know, that was a long technology section.
You have been officially bored by the technology segment on Dubious Intent Plus. Whatever. The news.
Don't try to rush me, moving me on. Affairs may do more than break hearts. They may break penises as well, a new study says. Sex outside marriage and sex that occurs under out-of-the-norm circumstances may increase the risk of penile fractures, said study researcher. Yes. Dr. Andrew Kramer, a urologist at the University of Maryland Medical Center. The heightened risk appears to be due to the unconventional situations and consequently locations surrounding sexual acts, the researchers said. Men in the study who had suffered penis fractures commonly were having sex in unusual settings, including in restrooms or at work, then when the injury occurred.
Now, wait, no, why
majority
what is,
were having...
Why does it have to be affairs, though? They could be doing that with their partner.
Well, the study is just saying that for some reason, affairs cause you to do it in more unusual situations and so increases the risk of having a penile fracture. Although I have to say this must be a straight study because any gay man that they would question about this would have done it in unusual places just as a matter of course. I mean, because most gay men that I know are like, what kind of unusual place can I do it in to add it to my list sort of thing, you know, but anyway, and I don't know any. Anyway, oh, but a penile fracture or broken penis is an injury that occurs to the erect penis. There are no bones in the penis. The fracture refers to tearing or laceration of a fibrous membrane called the tunica albuginea, which surrounds the spongy tissue in the center of the penis.
Ouch.
Anyway, it says, while penile fractures are rare occurrences, they may be underreported due to the potentially embarrassing circumstances surrounding the injury.
Kramer, do you have a penile fracture? Call us toll-free anonymously today.
So in Amsterdam, the Dutch
I'm sorry. Wait. I fell down on the job because I actually have my thing that I can do with the thing. So therefore, I can as soon as I find it, but I can do that thing. Could you do your thing? I'm trying to now. I've lost it.
I'm wanting you to do that thing. In Amsterdam, the Dutch National Railway has an unusual solution for passengers who need the bathroom on a train line designed without them, plastic bags.
Does this involve penile fractures at all?
I think this could cause a penile fracture. The rail operator.
Plastic bag.
Basically, I was thinking, what if you needed to take a shit?
In a plastic bag.
The rail operator underlined... I mean, wouldn't that be gross to have big bags of shit?
Thank you for that image.
The rail operator underlined that the bags introduced Friday are for use in emergencies only, when a train has stopped and passengers can't be evacuated. The idea has been met with incredulity by politicians and the general public already unhappy with the short-haul sprinter train's bathroomless design. I'm sorry. Incredulity and politicians together, I couldn't pronounce them.
Yes.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
The bags have a cup-shaped plastic top and contain a highly absorbent material that turns urine into a gel-like mixture.
Oh.
After use, the bags can be sealed and thrown into the trash.
Well, there you go. Hopefully you use it standing up, because have you ever been told that before? Just pee in a jar or something while you're driving. We're not going to stop. Just pee in this jar or something. I've never been able to figure out how you're supposed to pee in the jar while sitting down. You have to kind of stand up a little bit or something, because gravity.
I have done it. And yes, the pee either comes back out on your lap.
Right.
Or you try to stand up and your foot accidentally hits the gas instead of a blank spot in the floorboard, and you jet forward quickly and pee goes all over your face. I cannot pee while driving.
Right.
I'll just say that. I have attempted it.
What you need is some kind of thing that makes the pee into a gel.
Well, I couldn't let a news segment go without mentioning Florida.
Oh, God.
So here's the headline on this one. Florida lawmaker wants to repeal dwarf tossing ban to create jobs.
Well, I'm only thinking of the little people.
So first, let me emphasize that this is not a parody. It's a real story with quotes and facts and everything. Bill Workman is a Republican state legislator with a bold plan to help Florida's economy. He wants to lift the ban on dwarf tossing to create jobs. So here's a quote. I'm on a quest to seek and destroy unnecessary burdens on the freedom and liberties of people, Workman said. This is an example of Big Brother government. All that it does is prevent some dwarves from getting jobs they would be happy to get, Workman said. In this economy, or any economy, why would we want to prevent people from getting gainful employment? Dwarf tossing, not a term I would prefer.
We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, and in the name of the Lollipop Guild.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, basically, this guy, evidently, there's a ban on dwarf tossing. And before I read this story, I didn't even know that dwarf tossing existed.
Yes.
But apparently, in bars, it is a common thing for them to have dwarf tossing contests where they pad these dwarfs to keep them safe.
Yes.
And then drunk people try to toss them the furthest.
Correct. And it has been sponsored by numerous radio stations out at their Friday night hangout bars and whatnot.
Yeah, and I didn't know this existed, but never fear, Floridians. You may once again be able to toss dwarfs if this person has his way, this legislator has his way.
Well,
so
good for them. We'd ask for the we'd ask for the little people to call in and tell us what they think, but they can't reach the phone.
Ba-doom-ching.
Right. All right.
So, birthdays. It's your birthday.
There you go. All right. Happy birthday.
So we're going to do our typical birthday tradition, and you're going to guess who these people are.
Oh, boy, because I'm really good at this.
So here we go.
Julie Andrews.
Why, yes.
I would have also accepted Le Jazz Hot.
You would have accepted? This is my contest. Julie Andrews turned 76.
Oh.
So happy birthday, Miss Andrews.
Yes, happy birthday, Julie.
So this next one is going to be fairly obvious. It could only be one of two people, but this is the only song I could find, and you won't even know this, but I'm
Oh my God, it's Branch and Pinchot from Perfect Strangers, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
But anyway.
Kelly, January 5th, 2009. We're going high down. It must be Kelly because Regis is dead.
Regis is not dead, and the only reason I brought this up, and I didn't want to play the rest of their theme song because it's mostly an announcer talking. But anyway, the reason I brought this up is because I put a very funny post on Google Plus saying that you and I could rebrand ourselves as the new gay and lesbian version. Gay, actually, we're not lesbians.
Right.
But gay version
would be very
of
difficult
Regis
for us to
and
do
Kelly,
that.
Because you could be the old cranky curmudgeon, you know, wise one, and I could be the perky, you know, ditzy. What I didn't say ditzy, but you know, that might fit as well. And then you made the comment that you didn't even know really who those people were because you didn't watch that, basically implying that no one watches that show.
I didn't say that. No one watches that show. There are plenty of stupid people out there that watch that show.
And I just wanted to say that I also used to enjoy Matlock, and I like procedural dramas, and CBS is my favorite station. So maybe I am an old man when it comes to TV watching.
CBS is really good for The Good Wife. That's a good show.
I mean, I like procedurals. That's what I'm going to... And they always say when you hear all this TV talk, you know, whatever, they always say it's old people that like procedurals. I like procedurals.
Well, there you
anyway,
go.
Kelly turned... 41.
So here's my question. Here's my question on that picture that you keep saying that, you know, this really funny picture, this really good. Why is my face all blurred out like there was
because
Vaseline on the lens and then yours is like crystal clear?
Because I was looking through the only Pride 48 pictures I have, and all of them either had your head partially cut off with my head.
Did you go to the Pride 48 site and click on the see the sites where you could see all of the photos that people had uploaded?
No, I didn't take that much time and effort. Oh. I literally threw that picture together in like 2 minutes or less.
Do we have more birthdays?
Sorry.
Do we have more birthdays?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We have lots.
Oh, great.
I like this song, by the way.
This would be Sting.
We got to get to the good part. But yes.
You don't even know the words. You're trying to lip sync it, and you like totally.
No, I don't know
the words.
But I every time I heard that this on the radio, I always used to like it.
Well, there you
it's
go.
Very
so it's Sting. I'm guessing that Sting is now 75.
He turned 60.
Oh, well, I was close.
So no, he didn't. Okay, here is the next one. Happy birthday, Sting.
Oh, it's Twitter. It's Twitter's birthday.
You and me, we used to be together.
No idea who this
every
is.
Day together.
What?
I have no idea who this is.
Well, just get, wait, give it a second.
You don't
at all? It was a really popular song.
I can't believe this could be.
You gotta get to the chorus and then maybe you'll know. Oh Lord, it's gonna take forever. Gwen Stefani.
I have no idea who that is.
Don't speak.
Why would I not want to speak? This is a podcast.
This song.
Okay, I recognize the tune, but I have no idea who Stefani Gwen Stefani is.
Gwen Stefani turned 42, and she, I believe, and if I'm wrong, people write in angry letters, but I believe she was either girlfriends or married to Kurt Cobain.
Okay.
Before he died. And then,
I thought that was Courtney Love.
Oh, maybe it was. I get them confused.
Okay.
She's a blonde chick. Anyway, the name of the group was No Doubt. So anyway, happy birthday to Gwen. Here is our next one. Maybe you'll know this one. It's more in your time frame.
Chubby Checkers?
It is.
Fats Domino. I'd never get those two right.
And Chubby Checker, and I don't know if he's still alive, but if he is, he turned 70. I didn't actually look that up. And here is the last one, and I used to love this show. And
oh my God, is it Perfect Strangers?
No.
Oh. It's Big Fatty.
Maybe this will help you.
It's Big Fatty.
The password is...
Right. But this is the theme song that Big Fatty uses, so it must be Big Fatty. Is it Big Fatty's birthday?
It's not Big Fatty. Oh. It's the host of the guy that used to host Password.
Which would be...
He was married to Betty White.
Guy, but I don't know his name. Alan Ludden.
It was. Very good. Alan Ludden. He's dead. But he would have been 94.
So is Big Fatty.
Had he not been dead. So that's all the birthdays. Happy birthday to everyone. I mean, there were lots more birthdays, I'm sure, but that's all the ones I thought were important.
All right.
So now it's time for everyone's favorite segment.
With the best theme song ever. You gotta love any theme song that's got a laser in it.
Yeah, I've got to shorten the beginning thing like you told me to do because I play it over again. But anyway, I don't know. We never confer beforehand like whether you got ones, but we're fixing that this week. But anyway, so I'm going to mention we got an email from Casey in Denver just stating that he heard on the show that Nessa was the only one that didn't have any of his special picks. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you were going to include this email in the context since you bitched so vehemently about cocktails and pettifors, not reading your email.
It's profiteroles.
Profiteroles, I'm sorry. So cocktails and profiteroles didn't read your email. So I'm glad that you gave Casey in Denver his due.
I know that we're not as sexual as a show as my prior one. Mm-hmm. But anytime I get naked or partially naked photos, they will be mentioned or at least a thank you will go out to whoever sends them. But anyway, they were very nice. He sent and very tasteful.
Yes.
Because they are all in underwear. Mm-hmm. Although there are a couple with a very big, long, hard cock very evident inside the underwear, but at least it was tastefully shot. But it's very nice.
Oh, I thought he was just sending us pictures of his underwear. He apparently likes the Andrew Christian underwear.
Yeah, they're nice.
Did he send it to Nessa? Yeah, he sent it to Nessa too.
Yeah, I didn't see a response from her, but maybe she sent him a private response.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but anyway, I wanted to thank you, Casey, and it was very nice of you to think of Nessa's virginity or whatever and not send her actual nude ones.
Right. That's probably how she replied. She probably replied with, "What gives? I want to see the full Monty."
She said on the show that she didn't want to see.
Yeah, but that's just her public face. She probably privately was just like, no, go ahead. I want to see it. All right. So our next email comes from Miss Kathy Bacon, who writes, "Have you heard?" By the way, did you click on your sleeping robot thing?
I don't have a sleeping robot, but I did click on one like 5 minutes ago.
Okay, good. So Miss Kathy Bacon says, "Have you heard? I am soliciting calls to your show and I am giving a prize." Okay, thank you for calling.
So I want to ask you, because you listen to more, or you used to listen to more podcasts than I did.
Right, until I unsubscribed. Yes.
So do you know where, because I heard something vaguely about this, but... but where this originated and what did you hear anything about this at all?
This is a long, sorted, twisted little thing, because a long time ago, Wes and I wanted to do a contest, and the most that we could scrape together to give away as a prize was like $5. So then Miss Kathy Bacon heard that we could only offer $5 for our little contest, and then sent more money to give away as the prize. But because she didn't trust either of us, she sent the money to Big Fatty to hold. So Big Fatty has now become like the treasurer of the internet. So she has now sent, I believe, $20 to Big Fatty for us to give away as a prize.
All right. So we do have voicemails, and I have not listened to any of these. I do know some of them are
ordering
related
pizza
to this contest.
Because I believe she wanted them to order pizza. But before we get to the voicemails, we have one other email.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
We have George. Is it George in Atlanta? George from the,
that's
the
right.
West the Country Boy
even...
show? Yeah. George in Atlanta, who writes, "Hey guys, just listening to the latest DI Plus. You guys are great together. Two things. Number one," look at this, he's very helpfully numbered them for us. "Number one, love the idea of a show that is focused on helping people with podcasting tech issues. Brilliant." Why am I echoing back on myself?
I don't know.
"Number two," and you just got really loud on me. "Number two."
It's funny. You just, the number one that you just said, and was talking about a show about tech issues,
and the next thing out of your mouth was,
"And why am I echoing back on myself?" No.
All right, can we finish here? "Number two, taking you up on your offer to give advice on mixers, in the coming months, I plan to start a work-related podcast and possibly further down the road another podcast for fun on my own. Wes just bought this one on his show, and I'm thinking about getting the same one. Thoughts? I'm thinking for something under $300. Is that a reasonable budget for a mixer? Prefer 8-channel to 4-channel. And then he links to this mixer that Wes the Country Boy has bought, which is the Alexis Multimix 8 USB. Okay. So thoughts on the mixer. I figured we'd just cover this here. Thoughts on the mixer.
Oh, okay. I thought we would answer him privately so we didn't bore everyone else, but
we will. I'm not going to answer in detail here on the show, but I just wanted to answer this, and you're probably going to disagree with me on this, but I have had numerous USB mixers over the year, and not a single one of them has been clean. It's like every single USB mixer I have ever worked with on my computer is noisy, which means that when you try to use the USB sound input on it, it has a buzz or a hum, and it's just, I've never had one that is clean. And that has to do with the way that PCs components are built, because USB ports are not shielded properly, because they're not like thought of to be like, oh, this is where we're going to be putting in sound and stuff like that. And so you get these really annoying little whines and buzz. So I never, ever, ever use or suggest people to use USB mixers. Now, that being said, I'm sure there's going to be 5 people out there that say, oh, I have one that works just perfectly fine. But you won't know that until you hook it up and try it.
I will say this. I know nothing about that particular mixer, and I might have disagreed with you in the past, but I had some major issues when I started again podcasting recently with my current mixer, which is a USB mixer, and I decided to start using just the analog output into my computer, and it got rid of my humming, and I have to use one of those USB interfaces so that I can pull you from the laptop into the mixer because of my laptop is a piece of shit. it. And it, if I don't just hold my lip just right, I get hums off of that.
Yeah.
So I will agree that USB, you get all kinds of humminess.
Right.
You know, the only advantage I might, and I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I think some of those USB mixers, because of the equipment, the software that they have with them, you can supposedly record each mic to a separate track.
You can, provided that you're using software that will support that, and Audacity does not. So you would have you'd have to be using Adobe Premiere or something that costs, you know, $800 to record with.
And I think that mixer that he linked to included software with it. I think it
does,
had,
but it, if you read into it there, it's basically the software that allows you to control the mixer on your screen. And I've used the Alesis software before, and it's not.
I will tell you, I tried to help Wes out with his 5 minutes before his show a couple of weeks ago, and I nearly pulled all my hair out. It was so complicated, and they were hearing one of them out of one ear, one of them out of another ear. It was crazy. But I will say, I would prefer a mixer where it's all on the mixer and not in software, so you can see the knobs and you can play with the knobs and all of that and not have to worry about. And the other thing is, having another software running on your system, let's say, kind of in between, you know, the mixer and whatever you're recording on, is another software that you're having to run on your system that could be bogging it down and causing other issues.
Correct.
Depending on how good your computer is.
Correct. So anyway, the other thing that I just wanted to touch on briefly, and we can cover this in more detail in another place and another time, though, is if you're wanting to do any kind of Skype integration with your show or whatever, you need the ability to mix minus, which means you need the ability to route two different channels through your mixer. And although on that Alesis, you could do it with the aux channel, it would only be in mono. So my suggestion to you, kind sir, and I will send you the link for this, would be to go with the Behringer Xenix 1622 USB, which I know I just said I don't like USB mixers, but you don't have to use the USB interface. You can use the analog outs on it. The reason that I would choose that mixer is because it has two discrete output channels, both the main and the sub outputs, which are both in stereo, and you can choose to route any or all channels through either one or both of those outputs, which works perfectly for mix-minusing stuff. The other reason that I like that mixer is it has a built-in compressor on each of the four mic channels. It's an 8-channel mixer, 4 mic inputs, 4 stereo inputs. And the other reason that I like it is because it's the mixer that I use.
Yeah, and I've done some research after coming to Pride 48, and I think I was looking at the one up from that one because it had more outs, I believe.
Yes.
And a few more channels. But yeah.
I didn't tell them the best part, that this mixer is only the one that I just said, the Behringer Xenix, is only $225. So
yeah. The one up from that that's got like 18 channels, but it has more outs, is only like maybe $50 more or something. But
yeah.
Anyway, so we've bored everybody else other than George, but there you go, George. So I'm trying to figure out, because I have not pre-recorded the voicemails once again, so I'm trying to figure out which ones are new. So what day did we record? The 29th?
That sounds right. Yes.
Okay, so anything after the 29th. So here is our first one. I'll just go in order. It's buffering. A lot.
Hi, this is Kathy. I wanted to send the facts, but that's not an option. Okay, so number one, how can I leave a message that doesn't? I mean, you heard me talk in Vegas. I don't feel like I sound as crappy as I do coming over the stupid BlackBerry phone.
There's your problem.
Your online voice message center, wherever it's at in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to know how I can leave a nice, crisp, clean message.
Yes.
And I know the answer is not an iPhone. So anyway, that's what I would like. Also, I would like to say that I'm playing a game on your show, and I don't know if you know it, but I am giving pizza money to someone. All you have to do is call and leave a pizza order.
Right.
And I'm only halfway through the show. I'm going to go to the gym, and I'm going to stand on the elliptical and enjoy the rest of it. And I hope that maybe you already know about the game that I'm playing on your show, but this is the deal. All you have to do is call the DI Plus you little plussies.
Right.
And order pizza.
Right.
And then they're going to put your name in a little cup. I'm sure they have cups.
Right.
They have, we'll
they go
have
get
bowls because they
right.
eat. So they're going to put your name in a bowl or a trough. Just kidding. Okay, they're going to put your name in something, and then they're going to shake that thing with those names in it, and then they're going to draw a name, or I don't know how they'll pick your name. But anyway, then they're going to give your name to Big Fatty, and then you're going to have to somehow get your address to Big Fatty, and then
God,
he'll send you
so
the money. And then when you get the money, you can either, you know, pay a bill by by 4 minutes, or buy a pizza.
Right.
Thanks. Bye.
Or, can I just say,
or you could have a seven minute show with Adam.
You why did you have to bring that up? Can I just say, do we need to start instituting that rule that other shows do sometimes where they say, we would love to have voicemails from you. Please keep them for 30 seconds or
less. No, absolutely not.
No, we love Kathy.
All right, Kathy, how do you, she wanted to know how to leave a crisp, clean voicemail to us. Do you have headsets or anything on your computer? You could just record a message on your computer and then email it to us.
Yes, you could do that. What would our new email address be? Do you know?
Contact.
Yes.
At dubiousintent.com.
Yes, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Very good.
All right.
And that goes to both of us. So
and that
we
is
thought
the,
we would
the,
make it easy.
I love how she says, all right, I have this contest and you guys can decide how to give it away. All right, now here's how it works. You have to like stand on one foot and hold your finger on your nose and then shout out a pizza order while not dropping the cat. And then Big Fatty is going to do something with a colostomy bag and then get your address and then you can pay your bills. And I had it was very confusing.
I want to know, like, it's like one of those, you know, one of those things where they say, we'll mail you the rules if you need them. Please send
it's
a
like
self-addressed
Kathy
stamp
Bacon,
envelope.
Kathy Bacon is like the Rube Goldberg of podcasting contests.
Well, so we'll see what our next, I think we've got some pizza orders here. Oh, I do want to know if these people are actually going to get a pizza because I'm not sending them.
No,
pizza,
they'll get all. The money and then they can buy the pizza or not.
Okay. All right. Well, here's our next one. Buffering.
Hey, y'all, this is Moose. I need that pizza to be large, hand-tossed crust, sausage, the extra cheese, mushrooms, and olives. Anyway,
guys, write that down.
I hope that 30-minute delivery is still going.
Yeah.
Bye.
A 30-minute delivery. Let's see. We got this message like a week ago.
This poor guy's starving, waiting for his... What was that? A large sausage...
I've got a large sausage.
By the way, just as a technical note, while it's buffering, if you just don't say anything, then the truncate will take care of it. You don't have to keep saying buffering, buffering.
Oh, I listen to the whole damn thing and edit it, so I'll just cut
That's
it out
That's why the shows
hand.
Don't post for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Just for reference sake, people, today is April 28th, 2011.
Shut up. 2009.
All right, what's our next voicemail? Oh, by the way, thank you, Moose, for that.
Hi, yes, I'd like to place an order for a pizza, please.
Yes.
But before I place my order, I would like to complain about my last order. Yes, when I owe to you, I don't think that's for Christian. Anyway, I'd like your extra large,
extra large.
Chicago-style pan pizza with triple meat and double cheese.
Triple.
And I'd like an order of cheesy breadsticks and perhaps some chicken wings. And
do you want, wait, did
a can
you
of
want,
Diet Coke. Thank you very
cheesy.
Much.
Cheesy diet wings?
Cheesy something.
Diet wings.
I've also had some cheesy sausage before, but I don't know if we want to include that. Who was that? They didn't say who it was, and I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
How are we going to get a pizza to him? I don't know who
it
is. Yeah,
caller? Yeah, with the extra large Chicago-style triple meat double cheese with the side order of the cheesy diet wings. We don't know who you are.
And I didn't catch what the complaint was about the last time.
Something
about Christian.
Yeah, something about a Christian.
I don't know.
Maybe,
well, thank
maybe,
you for the call.
Maybe he got
you
bits
should
of,
tell us.
Maybe he got bits of Christian on his pizza last time.
Well, I'll give him some bits of Christian, but...
Well, my darlings. Oh, girls. After listening to all your shows, I do have to... Oh, I'm sorry, darlings. It's Donna Sugar.
Yes.
I just have to get this out there, the fact that Adam, listening to him and all of his neuroses about his personal body images and all that really does make me feel better because I always assumed that, I mean, I have serious body issues myself. I always assumed that beautiful people didn't have those, that their lives were perfect. Well, now that I know that skinny people are just as fucked up mentally as I am, it really does make my day much better. Thank you so much, Adam. I love the show, darlings. Oh, you guys played my calls, and it made me laugh. 2 p.m., great hookup. Kisses, darlings. Mwah.
I think it was 2 p.m., excellent hookup. What?
Yeah, you can't say that.
Oh.
I'll
cut it out.
Jesus Christ.
I'll cut it out. Oh, okay. So, well, thank you, Donna. You know, and I posted, people just do not respond to me when I put something on Google Plus. I put a post on there saying every time that I think of Donna Sugars, I think of, this is Donna Sugars, the way she said it in her voicemail. And I even posted like an audio file of her saying that. And no one, not one person commented on that.
I thought it was cute. You know what I'm fighting against lately is that whole like Google algorithm thing. It's like, you know what? God damn it. Just give me a chronological list. I'm tired of you trying to decide what post I want to see.
Oh, yeah. That is horrible. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Donna. We're running long, so we have to move on.
The network's going to kick us off because we're running long.
And that was a blank one.
Excellent. So I'm guessing
thank you
that they
for calling and hanging up.
Now, do we count the blank ones in the contest?
Oh, wait. The same phone number called again. So I guess they had technical difficulties the first time.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Hi, Daniel. Hi, Adam. This is that Peter G calling. You know, I hear from Miss Kathy Bacon from on the Twitter that you're taking pizza delivery orders now. And I just love that you're diversifying like that. It's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to place a special order, please. Could you send a pizza and a bottle of Cheap Loop to Adam's house where he can sit straddling, hug around, eating the pizza in front of his webcam, slowly removing one article of clothing per slice? I think there's probably scores of people willing to pay a permanent charge for that. Thank you for calling. Bye.
All right. So Peter G wants to send the pizza to you and a bottle of Cheap Lubes from our former sponsor, CheapLubes.com. And have you play strip pizza?
While sitting on a hover-round.
A hover-round, which is a sponsor of a different show. Yeah, but that's right.
Well, yes. So, okay. Well, that was our last voicemail.
So far in our little pizza contest, we have Moose P, someone that we don't know, the extra large Chicago-style triple meat double cheese cheesy diet wings guy, and then that Peter G. So those are the three people we have in our pizza.
So how long does this contest run? Because Miss Kathy Bacon didn't say
that. I think, you know, the goal here, I think, is just like on Live It Up. We just let the prize fund keep swelling up until it's enough money that you and I can just split it and never give it away.
Until it bursts.
That's right.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for the contact this week. It was fabulous. And I just love Donna Sugars.
Yes, Donna Sugars.
I think everyone loves Donna Sugars, but I just want to
say. There should be a sitcom on television called Everyone Loves Donna.
Although I think that when she calls, she should always say, well, hello, boys. This is Donna Sugars or whatever she says because
you like that. 3, 2, 1. Again.
Oh, let me do that again. Hold on. Sorry.
3, 2, 1. Yeah, how can you not love something that has a laser in it?
Fire the laser.
Laser.
Or whatever she said.
Laser.
Well, I am just tired out. That was just the network is going to be kicking us off because we just were blabbing on and on and on.
Yeah,
it was
whatever.
That text segment this week, whatever.
You know, the text, and we didn't even get to talk about Microsoft Live Mesh, which is something that I discovered while I was in Connecticut. And we didn't really talk about what the hell I was doing in Connecticut to start with. But that's all right. You know, it was more important for you to give people some kind of cooking recipe at the beginning of the show, which was just absolutely riveting. And I'm sure that, you know what you should do next time is you should maybe read from your diary. You know,
okay.
I could just see this. It's like noon, masturbated on camera, 1 p.m. logged on to Grindr, 2 p.m. excellent hookup. Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI plus, and that translates out into some series of numbers that I don't remember at the time, but I'm sure that you can find them on our website, which, by the way, is dubiousintent.com. You can also email us at our brand new email address, which is contact@dubiousintent.com. And that goes to both of us. Yeah, so you can send naked pictures to Adam, and I won't look. I swear, I won't look, because I'm married and old. You don't need to be sending me naked
pictures. You can look.
Shh, I don't want them to know that. Anyway, anything else that we need to tell? Oh, you can find us on Google Plus. I'm Danny Brewer, he's Adam Burns, and I think you might still be on Twitter, are you?
Yeah, Adam H, the number 2T.
Right, so if you want to torture yourself with Twitter, you can go over there.
I want everybody to add me on one or the other because I want to get a lot more friends on my social network. Right. So add me.
Right. And don't forget to go to the Podcast Awards and vote for the people.
Bye.